WABC New York. From around the world to around the block, this is a 77-second news update from the RSESolutions.com news desk.
Well, the FBI is working to bring the hacking group behind the cyber attack on the world's largest meat supplier, JBS, to justice. The Bureau believes that a Russia-linked group of hackers called both Revil and Soda Nikobi are behind it. The JBS hacking forced the company to shut down a number of facilities in the U.S. It came on the heels of the ransomware attack that crippled a key oil pipeline last month. Derek Chauvin, the former police officer, wants to serve probation after being convicted of murdering George Floyd. He asked to either be allowed to leave prison on time served or to serve a shorter sentence than guidelines suggest. His legal team notes he has no previous criminal record and could be targeted in prison. Meantime, prosecutors want a judge to sentence him to 30 years behind bars. They say that term would account for the impact of Chauvin's crimes. The national eviction moratorium will stay in place after a federal judge denied a request from a group of landlords to resume evictions during the coronavirus pandemic. The policy was enacted at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic as many Americans were laid off and told to stay home. And drivers with electric cars will soon be able to recharge at 7-Eleven. The convenience store chain says at least 500 ports will be installed at 250 stores across the U.S. and Canada. The goal is to have them in place by the end of next year. The charging ports will be owned and operated by 7-Eleven. Speaking of sevens, that's your 77-second news update from the RSESolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Frank Moreno on 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight continues with Marlena Shivo straight ahead.
Music Radio 77 WABC presents Saturday Nights with Tony Orlando every Saturday at 10 p.m.
Hi, everybody. This is Tony Orlando.
Up three times on the ceiling if you want me.
It's like a variety show on the radio. Storytelling at its best. Saturday Nights were made for Music Radio 77 WABC and Tony Orlando. Every Saturday at 10 p.m., right after Cousin Brucey on Music Radio 77 WABC.
Okay, listen up, recruits. Homes are flying off the shelves. A moment's hesitation and you're a backup offer. Think you have time to get a mortgage quote after you make an offer? Think again. Want to compare insurance options with a third party? Not if you want to see tomorrow. We've got 5 minutes to put an offer in after the listing goes live, or we're in no man's land. You hear me? All right, now let's head out to some showings.
Home buying shouldn't be so intense. Why not use an agent that's helping simplify the process? With Rex, that's what you get. Full-service agents, mortgage, title, escrow, insurance, all in one place. Plus, homebuyers who buy and sell with Rex save over $10,000 on average in unnecessary fees. Ready to get started? Call 833-REX-HOME, 833-739-4663, 833-739-4663. New York license number 10991225737. For further licensing disclosures, please visit rexhomes.com.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Other side of midnight. Well, no lights, no phone, no motor car, not a single luxury, but that doesn't stop us. We are rolling along here on the other side of midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Now, Christian, you have an update for us on our phone situation. Our owner, John Katsimatidis, was just asking me about this. So,
yeah, so our head engineer, Dan, has left for the night. He left about 2 hours ago because he looked more tired than we do right now, and we're pretty tired. But it sounds like he's going to be back in early to continue to work on the issue, and then hopefully they'll have it fixed sometime during the morning show or a little after that.
Well, why would he leave rather than stay and continue to try to fix it?
I think he was pretty tired, and
fair
at that point,
you think I look tired? I feel like I look.
No, I think I was referring to Gabby and myself more than you. You seem pretty awake.
You guys look pretty good too. I think.
Oh, thanks,
you know,
Frank.
I got a text message yesterday during the WABC early news from somebody, and anybody can text me that wants to 8168 Morano. It's 8168 Morano. He said I sound tired. Now, what kind of thing is that to say to somebody? You sound tired. You know what? I am tired. You do 5.5 hours of radio every day at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. Let's see how tired you sound, Paul Gambino. All right. Well, somebody who seems to have boundless supplies of energy is veteran media producer, satirist, social critic, COVID survivor, and certified close friend of the Frankster, the one and only Marlena Schiavo. Marlena, it is great to see you.
It is great to see you too, Frank. I am so glad that I did not miss this opportunity as I was sleeping much later than I normally would.
Well, it is jarring to have to wake up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning to be here, isn't it?
Actually, no, because I'm not the best sleeper in the world. So it's not that big of a deal. But sometimes I do get tired, and I'm taking this off my ear. And, you know, so I... It was fine. I just felt like I overslept, but I did not, because
no.
Here I am.
You were here early.
All right.
You could take your headphones off.
Yeah. You know what? I do want to take my headphones
off. Take
no,
them
I'll
off.
I'll keep them.
It's not like you have to hear callers or anything.
Oh,
take
that's true.
On.
We
exactly.
Don't have to hear callers. But I want to match you, Frank.
All right. Well, that's...
I almost wore a jacket very similar to the one you're wearing. Next time, we should probably... Like,
let's coordinate
speak.
Next time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I earlier in the show, though, when okay. I was driving in, I actually heard you talking about mental illness. And I'm not going to make light of that issue whatsoever. However, I will say this. Just about mental health in general. Now, I drive in pretty late in the middle of the night, right? So, and you would think that I would go and get gas during the daylight hours.
Right.
Because I, as a woman in the middle of the night, don't really want to stop for gas right. on the turnpike or anywhere else. But yet, since you've been doing this show, I have only had the forethought to fill my tank once during daylight hours. And each and every time I get in my car, I go, oh, I need to go get gas. What is that? Is that a mental block? What is the problem there? It's like I have such anxiety about pulling up as a woman at 1 o'clock in the morning at a gas station, yet I continue to do it.
It is such a great question. From now on, I didn't know that was an issue with you, but from now on, I'll include that in my reminder notes for you the next time you're kind enough to come in. I'm sorry about that. That is frustrating. So as it stands now, what is your gas tank situation? Are you filled?
I am filled.
You're filled, but you had to risk life and limb in order to fill it.
I know that seems crazy to you.
Yeah, I see what goes on in the streets of New York and I'm sure to some extent New Jersey. Now, Marlene is very upset that her camera, which is on this makeshift tripod we have, has fallen. Which I don't mind terribly because I don't love being videotaped in these segments, but that's no neither here nor there. Talk with Marlena Schiavo, veteran media producer, satirist, social critic, and as I mentioned, COVID survivor. You can follow her on all forms of social media at Marlena Schiavo. That's Marlena MarlaNa, and then Schiavo spelled just like Terry Schiavo. Now, were you excited that comedy clubs are totally back in New York and New Jersey? You've done some performing at comedy clubs in your time. Are you happy they're back?
I mean, partially happy, but I actually just got a note from the Comedy Cellar saying that you can be a patron there if you are fully vaccinated or you come with a negative COVID test, which is the first I've received since things have been opening up, because other places in New Jersey, not necessarily New York, but in New Jersey, like my hair salon or the place I wax my entire face, they basically said, you know, hey, we are lifting our mask mandate in alliance with Governor Murphy, and we are not at liberty to ask you if you've been vaccinated or not, and vice versa.
Right.
If you feel the need to wear a mask, go for it. If you want one of our, you know, specialists to wear a mask, go. You know, you can request that. Otherwise, we're back to normal.
Well, that strikes me as a pretty sound policy. That, not the Comedy Cellar policy, which is, you know, if you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear one. If you want to wear one, wear one.
Right. Exactly. And everything on the Friday, the 28th, when everything was lifted last week, places went from having signs on the door to either no signs or signs that say mask optional, with the exception, actually, of Home Goods, which I didn't see a sign, and I just kind of walked in because it's been a week, and the woman stopped me and told me I needed a mask because their individual store policy was that they were going to continue on with the masks, which means I probably won't be returning to Home Goods anytime soon because I'm not interested.
You know, O'Reilly, who you used to work with at Fox News, right?
For a hot minute.
He has been saying the same thing, that if he goes into a business that requires a mask, he's just not going.
Right.
And that's kind of your philosophy, it seems, as well.
It is. And I'm also but I'm a little nervous because I came across a New York Times article about New York adopting the first passport vaccine.
Right. The Excelsior pass. Right.
Well, yeah. Well, the Excelsior thing we heard about a long time ago. But and people, not a lot of people are actually using it.
Nobody's using it.
Nobody's using it.
And it doesn't work, apparently. People had have gotten it. They say it doesn't work.
Right. And so, but I didn't actually get a chance to read this article, so I don't know the full, like, context of what they're trying to say. All I know is that the headline said, and more people need to start using it. But I was more bothered by the fact that it said the first to adopt.
Uh-huh.
The first.
Not the only.
So, because it's like, come on, enough, you know?
On that front, Andrew Giuliani, who's running for governor of New York, whose father is our colleague who you can hear every day at 3 p.m., Rudy Giuliani. Andrew Giuliani has been criticized because he hasn't been wearing a mask, and he's been going to campaign appearances and taking pictures with people and meeting voters and going all over the place, indoors and outdoors, with no mask. And he's been asked about this, and he said, look, I just had the virus, and I currently have the antibodies. Why do I need, even though I haven't been vaccinated, why do I need to wear the mask? And to me, I have a tough time arguing with that logic. We're now seeing that the antibodies that you get from, or the immunity that you get from having had the disease, as you have, could actually last far longer than the immunity that you get from the actual vaccine. Do you find that the criticism of him for that is kind of unwarranted?
Absolutely. And to your point, my husband, Eric, went, or as you like to call him, Todd, went to the doctor for a sinus infection, and the doctor naturally asked him about, you know, whether or not he was vaccinated, and he said, oh, well, I had COVID, and he, oh, okay, well, then don't get the vaccine.
Ah.
He's at least not this year, and he said, well, you know, I had it 3 months ago, does that make a difference? And the doctor said, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, it is your best defense. At least for this year, we'll see how next year plays out. That was his response. Do not get the vaccine.
That's interesting. And if people don't understand the Todd reference, when Rachel and I got married 2 years ago, I invited Marlena and her husband, who is named Eric apparently, to our wedding. But unfortunately, I addressed the wedding invitation to Marlena and Todd. So I have felt bad about that. But every time I refer to him in a text message to you or in conversation, I really do have to keep stopping myself and saying, wait a minute, is his name Eric or Todd? I can't remember which is his actual name and which is the name that I gave him. But and again, I don't see that changing anytime soon. We'll see what happens. But talking about New Jersey.
It's kind of like my gas. You fill up your tank, mental block.
Right.
You just
can't exactly
seem to get over that.
Exactly. So the next time I remind you to fill up your gas before you head out, you just remind me that your husband is named Eric, not Todd.
Okay.
Now, you talk about the masking situation in New Jersey, that a lot of stores are moving towards mask optional or just entirely maskless. What are you seeing in terms of parents and children on this masking issue in Jersey?
Well, you know, okay, so interestingly, at least to me, enough that, you know, people, this was the big thing that I thought was going to happen, and it did, where they said vaccinated people can go into stores. Obviously, it's an honor system thing. But if you have small children, there's no pretending that those kids are vaccinated, right? So, like, they, so I said, well, that's weird. So even if you are vaccinated and you can go in maskless, you're going to mask your small children. And, you know, of course, my stance was absolutely not. Like, if I'm going maskless into a store, my children are not going to be masked. A lot of people have adopted this as well. I've seen other small children. Mm. No, because I dare anyone to go up to any parent to say, excuse me, can you put a mask on your child's face? I mean, that's just not going to happen. Right. It doesn't matter. Okay, so we were, my older daughter and I were in Target together. I ran into someone I knew who was wearing a mask on her chin, so essentially maskless, and she had her twin daughters, who are 6 years old, masked.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, wow, this is crazy, right? Because this is exactly what I'm talking about, and it happens to be somebody I know. And so, not me, I said nothing, of course, but Rebel, my daughter, said, I have a question. I mean, out of the gate. She barely knows this woman, by the way. She's met her twice, but doesn't, you know
She's
her.
Not shy. I've met your daughter.
Definitely not shy. She goes, I have a question for you. She says, what's that? She said, why are you still wearing masks if Governor Murphy changed everything? I mean, it took this woman aback, you know, and she just said exactly what I just said, which is, well, you know, my children aren't vaccinated and, you know, I have a mask handy. If I encounter somebody who is masked and it makes them more comfortable if I'm masked. And I mean,
it's a pretty lame response to Rebel's question, I would think.
Rebel moved on and was like, look at this doll. Like, I mean, she just kind of was,
sure.
You know, it's like she not that she cared. What the woman said, I did, on the other hand, because if she thinks that there's a million other people who think this way, this whole idea that because you have a mask on, I should somehow cover my face. Again, why? Why would I do something like that? If I feel comfortable about either contracting, you know, a virus or any other germ for that matter, then that's my business. And if you're not comfortable, then either stay home, trust your vaccine that you got, or put your mask on. I don't know what else to tell people.
Strikes me as pretty reasonable.
Anyway, so, yeah.
All right. Well, we have some open letters that we're going to address in the next few minutes. And we're going to pick Marlena's brain on some paranormal experiences that she may have had that may fit with the overall arc and theme of our show. And again, we're talking with Marlena Schiavo. You could check out her website at MarlenaSchiavo.com, but follow her on all forms of social media. There's a lot of great content that's on there. It's Marlena, S-C-H-I-A-V-O, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Now, one place where you can happily shop maskless is on the website GetTheTea.com. This is a product which is terrific. Now, you go on there, you can buy all sorts of stuff. You can buy vitamins, you can buy supplements, you can buy stuff for energy, you can buy all sorts of stuff, but their bread and butter, or at least their bread and tea, is the tea. It's a cold tea. It's a tea that gives you a ton of energy without caffeine. It's an herbal proprietary blend that's all natural, and it is terrific. You'll notice immediately an uptick in your energy levels. I can't imagine trying to do these nocturnal, ungodly hours for 5.5 hours a day without this stuff. I drink 2 glasses every day, but it really does wonders for your digestive health. You will have no trouble being regular if you patronize GetTheTea.com and purchase some of this Life Change tea. So you'll feel better, you'll have more energy, you'll have no difficulty being regular. Your overall gut health, which is where so many viruses tend to, I don't know, begin or at least congregate, your overall gut health will be improved. Go to the website, GetTheTea.com, and if you order some and use the promo code Frank, then you will get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. GetTheTea.com is the website. The promo code is Frank.
New York proud, New York loud, with New York attitude, all here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. This Sunday night starting at 6.
Strangers in the night.
With your host, the Vice Chairman of the Board, Joe Piscopo.
It's the good life. And the way you look tonight.
It's Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. This Sunday night starting at 6.
With me, Joe Piscopo.
On
Music Radio. WABC. sit here from Bernie and Sid in the morning for Hamra Law Group. It's a law firm that you need to remember whether you're a business or an individual. That firm is Hamra Law Group. They're a group of award-winning attorneys. They're aggressive and client-centered in their approach to solving legal issues. Go to HamraLawGroup.com. Trust me, trust Sid, they are the best. Whether you need an attorney for a divorce, whether it's complex or not, or if you're a business looking to fight off a labor and employment lawsuit, or a business looking to get into compliance with New York and federal labor laws, there's only one firm I would turn to, and that's the Hamra Law Group PC. They're a results-driven law firm that really cares. They were built on the idea that sophisticated legal services should be convenient, modern, and affordable. Putting their clients first and knowing how to achieve a positive outcome, that's what you get with Hamra Law Group. If you need legal, you need Hamra. Visit them today at HamraLawGroup.com. That's H-A-M-R-A LawGroup.com. Win with Hamra today.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Suntan, wind blown, honeymooners at last alone, feeling far above par. Oh, how lucky we are.
Well, this is The Other Side of Midnight. We are experimenting with our musical library now. And this is the only song in the entire music library that we have access to that's by Bing Crosby. It's by Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly, of course, called True Love. Well, speaking of love, I always love the opportunity to talk with Marlena Shivo on the air and off. She's a comedic personality, social critic, and someone that never hesitates to make her voice heard on any subject. Now, we were talking about UFOs a bit earlier, Marlena. Do you have any thoughts on UFOs at all?
I have so many thoughts on UFOs, Frank. Actually, I don't have so many thoughts. I don't know if I believe in the unidentified flying object version of UFO because I haven't seen it. I'm a very tangible. Things need to be tangible for me to believe them. I guess you would call that scientific.
Sure.
But I do believe in something relative to the listener's comments on the Facebook page, which is that you are you do deliver some monologues.
This is true.
So for me, UFO is more of stands for unrelenting Frank oration, and it is a phenomenon.
That's pretty funny. I have been told worse, but unending. Frank oration?
Unrelenting.
Unrelenting. Okay. All right. I could deal with that.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
You do talk a lot. Well, you do have a very long show where you have to fill the time. But man, your mouth, you're like the opposite of the Tin Man. It's like someone over-oiled your jaw. And then filled it with words.
It's difficult to take that as a compliment, so I won't. All right. Now, have you ever had any experiences with the paranormal in general, aside from your skepticism on unexplained aerial phenomenon, which I'm sure you could come up with an anti-Frank acronym to describe?
Well, okay. So, listen, paranormal stuff, again, it's fascinating to me, much more than UFOs are, but I watch those shows. I'm always looking for what they're looking for. I never really see it. But I did have two experiences of my own. And I still doubt it, even though I saw it with my own eyes.
Wow.
Okay. So I was at a 4th of July weekend in the countryside of Montreal in this house, this big house. I went inside. I was outside. I went inside to go to the bathroom. I was going up the stairs. Okay. And I felt like there was someone standing at the top of the stairs. I actually thought it was one of the men that was outside with me earlier, this guy Mark. And I looked up to say something to him, and there was no one there. I saw like a black cloudy thing for like a second. And then I was like, oh, you know, my eyes are adjusting from the sun, no big deal. But then I hear running, and I'm like, oh, now this is way, I'm in my 20s at this point. There were kids at this, you know, weekend getaway, and I'm like, oh, it's those kids. They're running down the hallway. So I get to the top of the stairs to look down the hall. There's no one. There are no children. There is no one there. I'm like, okay, never mind. Didn't really think too hard about it, right? I use the bathroom. I go back outside. I continue on with my time. Later that evening, all the adults are sitting around the table, and we're about to have dinner and drinks. And one of the other men on this trip said, okay, is anybody else seeing ghosts? And I literally looked at the guy, and he's like, because I came in from outside, and right over there, he's pointing to the dining room table. He's like, I could have swore there was a man standing there. And when I looked again, all I saw was like a black shadow. Now, I told no one what I saw earlier that day, and this guy said this. I almost fell out of my chair.
Was this a place, did you find out at all, that had any sort of history with that kind of thing at all? Or
I don't know the answer to that.
And I would have been so curious.
Where I am now, I would have investigated further. In my 20s, I was, you know, just having fun and not even thinking about that. I just know what I saw, know what he said. They completely matched.
Wow.
Okay.
That is something.
It's bizarre. And like I said, I experienced it and still I'm like, maybe it was just for chance. Okay, so that happened. This isn't as thrilling, but it happened. So in my apartment, my former apartment on the Upper West Side, I was sitting on the couch. I was pregnant with my second daughter. I was working late, like from home. I was finishing up something. And Eric was also working late because it was the 2016 election.
Sure.
Coverage or whatever. And
he was working in journalism at the time.
He was actually at Newsmax at the time, And so he still works in journalism, as you call it, if we can even call it that anymore. So the way my old apartment was, like, you couldn't see the front door from my couch, okay? So there was, like, the wall, and when you it's hard to explain, but when you came around this wall, you would be in this living room. But before you got to the couch, to the left was a desk, right? Mm. And the desk was facing this wall. So it was almost like a sectioned off, like, office area of this room. Anyway, with a computer, obviously. So I hear the door, right? I hear, like, keys or whatever. I hear the door. I hear the door shut. And I hear creaking on the floor. I'm like, oh, Eric's home. You know, just like, you know, whatever, fine. And then after about a minute or two, I'm like, what is he doing? Like, because he hadn't, like, emerged from this area. I'm like, God, he's so slow, you know? Like, so I'm looking. I don't get up from the couch. And then my computer just lights up from being asleep for, you know, I was on my laptop. My desktop was on this. And I'm like, what is going on? You'd have to jiggle the mouse in order to make the computer turn on, obviously. It didn't just turn on randomly. It didn't restart itself. It didn't do anything. It just lit up because there was some sort of movement, you know, that moved it, I guess. And I'm like, what the? I get up. He is not home. There's no one is in my apartment whatsoever.
And no pets?
Oh, never. No, none. Okay. Just my daughter who was sleeping at the time, my older daughter. And I immediately just kind of quietly went back to the couch, and I had to call my mom. I had to call, and then I called my friend Sarah because I just couldn't deal with what just happened because it was that weird. I mean, the door opened. I heard it. I knew the sound of my door. I heard footsteps. No one was there. My computer just lit up. No?
I find it pretty amazing. Not as amazing as the Montreal situation.
Of course. Like I said, it's not as thrilling.
Yeah.
But it was still a moment where
I was
like,
still waiting for like a climax. There.
I know.
I thought like you
I know.
It, like, when you, that's why I was not saying anything because I thought it was about to, there was a, at least a door slam in that or
no,
something.
No, that was but, all I had. No, it's not as crazy as the Montreal one, but it was still something to where, like, why am I hearing, you know, there was footsteps.
Sure.
The door opened. There's no one in my apartment.
That is pretty wild. So would you say, you're a skeptic by nature, would you say that you've come closer to being a believer in certain, I don't know, things related to the paranormal because of those two experiences?
Mainly because of the Montreal experience. I'm like, and there have been people that, you know, have said other things that make me think that there's maybe something else out there. But yeah, I guess. I mean, yes, I've gone from a non-believer to a maybe.
Maybe. Okay, well, I think that's an open mind is all any of us can ask. Now, if you are ever injured by a ghost at work, you need to think about the Staten Island law firm of Angiuli and Gentile, because whatever your work-related issue is, a workers' compensation claim of any sort, the Staten Island lawyers of Angiuli and Gentile have a lot of experience in this. They have been doing this for over 35 years. There's no need for you to stress if you find yourself up in the middle of the night trying to listen to radio shows that will put you to sleep because you're stressed out about these work-related issues. If you're worried about how you're going to pay your medical bills, if you're worried about how the workers' compensation process works, don't worry about it anymore. They'll worry about it for you because the Staten Island lawyers of Angiuli and Gentile are experts. They've done thousands of workers' compensation hearings. They've helped all sorts of people, including friends of mine and family members of mine, with wrongful termination cases. And they're a terrific law firm with a lot of expertise and a lot of professionalism. Give them a call today. Write this down. 888-234-COMP. That's 888-234-COMP. They have in-person consultations and they have contactless video appointments. That's 888-234-COMP. Comp 888-234-2667.
Listen at home.
At home.
Enable the 77 WABC Alexa skill today. Say,
play 77 WABC.
Okay, listen up, recruits. Homes are flying off the shelves. A moment's hesitation and you're a backup offer. Think you have time to get a mortgage quote after you make an offer? Think again. Want to compare insurance options with a third party? Not if you want to see tomorrow. We've got 5 minutes to put an offer in after the listing goes live, or we're in no man's land. You hear me? All right, now let's head out to some showings.
Home buying shouldn't be so intense. Why not use an agent that's helping simplify the process? With Rex, that's what you get. Full-service agents, mortgage, title, escrow, insurance, all in one place. Plus, homebuyers who buy and sell with Rex save over $10,000 on average in unnecessary fees. Ready to get started? Call 833-REX-HOME, 833-739-4663, 833-739-4663. New York license number 10991225737. For further licensing disclosures, please visit rexhomes.com.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Follow us on Twitter at 77 WABC Radio.
And everyone else reacts.
And listen live at WABCRadio.com.
It's a mystery. It's an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
An American original. 100% Talk Radio 77 WABC. And WABCRadio.com.
Frank Morano. 77
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano, joined for the hour by Marlena Shivo, a satirist, social critic, and all-around interesting person. She also happens to be a mother of two daughters and something of an authority, at least an expert, on parenting-related issues. Now, Marlena, you have really been very vocal about criticizing the over-wokeness in some sectors of society, particularly as it relates to parenting and schools. What are we seeing this week in terms of whatever you want to call it, political correctness, wokeness, anything else? Everybody being racist?
Yeah. Well, there was that story that came out back in, I guess, February about the school on the east side of Manhattan. It's actually, the school itself is called East Side. It's a middle school. And the principal sent out this note about everybody sort of checking their whiteness, so in short, because basically for him, and what he's telling all the families at the school is that if you are white, it is an original sin. Basically, more or less. And he addresses the white family specifically about doing work on anti-racism. Okay. So now the idea of educating anyone on anti-racism is not a bad thing. It's a good thing,
sure.
Right? However, singling out white families and telling them that even though you know, you are inherently racist because you're white is a bit much. I mean, especially for a public school principal to be this is not
right.
This is not the forum for that.
Exactly.
But okay, teaching it in the school is one thing, but going as far as to send out a memo about this. Okay, so he had sent out a note to parents back in June that he now referenced and is putting into action. It was about families needing to take mandatory anti-racism training courses, and not suggested, but mandatory, which is odd because I don't really understand what the repercussions are if you don't take it
as a
public school, as a parent, right? Because it's not just
What are they going to give you detention?
What are they going to do? Yeah. And that's what I actually asked my friend whose son is in this school, and she actually wrote to the superintendent, and I still don't have an answer because that superintendent wants to speak to her instead of putting it in an email about this issue. But she basically said, like, what are the legalities of requiring families to take mandatory workshops? You know, like what exactly?
Right, especially
are we what
in
are
a
the
public
policies? Especially in a public school, right? So that's where that's at right now. She's extremely angered by this.
Oh, I would be too. And your friend's not actually racist, right?
not to anyone's knowledge,
okay.
No. But she is, in fact, white.
Oof,
but
as bad.
But the quote from the principal that said, and quite frankly, the white families have the most work to do. And he's white. He's white. But it's amazing because he had so much backlash back when he wrote the first note. But he was backed by the DOE, and
amazing
that they supported his efforts, and so he felt empowered to then plow forward with now requiring people to take workshops. I don't know. I think it's a bit much.
Well, so do I. Something others may find to be a bit much is how to talk with children about sexuality and gender identity. And this loses a little something not being able to see the video, but there is a children's show called Blue's Clues, and I've always found you to be pretty progressive, especially on LGBTQIA-related issues. And they put out a video, the Blue's Clues folks put out a video basically encouraging tolerant thinking in light of Pride Month. I'm not going to play you the whole thing, but here's a portion
of this Blue's Clues video. Now, you got to picture this. This Blue's is something on radio, and I'm going to link to it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. You have to picture a whole bunch of animated characters singing these songs and going through all this. But this is what it sounds like.
All these families. Hi, families. It's time for a pride parade. Families marching one by one. Hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two mommies, they love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big hooray. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. Families marching two by two, hurrah, hurrah. This family has two daddies, they love each other so proudly, and they all go marching in the big parade. Come on, friends.
So what was your reaction to this video, and what's been the broader reaction from the parental social media community?
You know, it's been a mixed bag. For me, it doesn't actually bother me. I don't know so much that the kids that watch Blue's Clues would even understand so much of the references about, because they go on to say like non-binary and pan and trans and all these other things. You know, and Eric and I were just... Eric, my husband.
Yes,
that's his
thank
name.
You, Todd.
We're talking about this. I said, you know, this is an effort to honestly decrease the frequency of suicide. That's what this is. It's like they're starting really early because there is such a high rate of suicide in youth that have you know, gender identity confusion and everything. But anyway, the response from the, you know, people that aren't so in tune or interested in teaching kids about this was that they are promoting gender confusion. You know, I don't know if I agree with that, to be honest. I understand that it can be confusing, and maybe this age bracket might be a little bit...
Well, what is the age bracket that watches a show like Blue's Clues? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about like 3- and 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. You know, Blue's Clues is around, you know, around that. Because, I mean, these are kids that are like... That's all about numbers. I mean, 1 to 10 is you know, the most right. basic thing you can learn, and that song goes up to 10. So, I think that... Teaching kids that there are all different types of families is not a bad thing at all. And I don't necessarily agree with the backlash, but I understand why some people who don't understand gender identity or sexuality, which are, you know, two different things, would be outraged by this because, you know, there's a lot of people who are very traditional and they just don't think that... A, this makes any sense at any age, especially at a young age. So I don't know.
Well, I posted the video. People can watch it for themselves on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. Be curious about your comments once you actually watch it, ideally with an open mind. I can understand promoting tolerance of a family that has two mothers or two fathers. You know, I guess it's sort of the non-binary thing that I could see some parents having an issue with. I mean, you don't want your 3- or your 4-year-old watching this, and there are a girl who likes playing with trucks and G.I. Joes, and then all of a sudden they decide at 4 or 5 years old to identify as non-binary, which is something they might not even be aware of as an option for them prior to seeing a video like this. I can understand that.
Right. And I mean, I understand that argument too. But I don't know enough about how much of an effect this kind of like this would have on somebody. I mean, Frank, and I guess it's different because you're an adult now, but you know, as a child growing up, like if someone started talking to you about the gay community, would you automatically just think, well, maybe I'm gay? You just kind
of
know
right. no,
what interested
not.
You or what didn't.
Definitely
and if you felt like a girl or a boy, that's something that sort of happens early on, and psychologists have backed this. They say, so there's a show on TLC called I Am Jazz, which is it features a young girl, trans girl, who basically at the age of 2 was saying, I'm a girl. I'm a girl in a boy's body. And the parents had to make the decision of whether or not they would start using hormone blockers and let her, you know, be who she thinks she is or feels she is. And psychologists say, like, if by, at the age of two, kids sort of start to tell you who they really are. I'm not a psychologist. Mm. I'm just, you know, letting you know what I've been ingesting over the years about this.
All right. Well, one of the hallmarks of your last few visits with us, which the listeners have just loved, and we're talking with Marlena Schiavo, if you're just waking up or you're just tuning in, has been the open letters. Now, when I was here at this radio station 11 years ago, we had this terrific, you know, sounder that we used to play on the Curtis and Kubi show all the time. And it was almost like on the Perry Como show when they'd get letters and it was a song. And I've been trying everywhere to find this. I've searched all my archives, but I think David Letterman also did a version of this, but it was letters. We get your letters. We get lots and lots of letters. Mail, 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 mail. And then it had like a ripping sound effect. It was really cool. Open it up. So if anybody has access to that sound, I really would like it the next time Marlena is here, especially no one wants to hear me attempt to sing that again. So email me if you're able to find that. It was similar, like I've seen on the YouTube, the Perry Como version of it, and it's not exactly what we used to play. I can't remember where we got it from, but please try and find that and send it to me. frank.moreno@wabcradio.com. But you have been answering open letters. People send these open letters to blank, folks that are never going to answer. You are actually taking the time to answer these letters.
I am taking the time because actually, funny enough, in your show earlier tonight, you talked about the value of receiving a letter.
That's true.
Now, these are online and they're not in paper form, but hey, a letter they are, right? So... The first open letter I'm going to talk about is a man who wrote a letter to his wife, and it is an open letter to my wife's lookalike on Tinder.
Ah.
Okay. So this man goes on and on to talk about how this woman is so similar to his wife. They even share the same name, and then to find out that it is, in fact, his wife after all.
Yeah, so, Tinder, by the way, if people don't know, is an app that you use to hook up with basically casual sexual partners, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. So yes. You don't want to see your wife on there.
It's a casual dating app.
Yes, you don't want to see your wife on Tinder.
Right.
Right.
So
I can't wait to hear the response to this.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Dear husband, I would like to point out that you would have never found me on Tinder if you weren't on Tinder yourself. You say you accidentally downloaded the app, and this is almost believable, except you would have to set up a profile before trolling through female prospects. Not sure how one accidentally sets up a username and password, but hey, half the country think Donald Trump is a hero and Dr. Seuss is a villain, so I'll believe anything at this point. Swipe left, your future ex-wife. Yeah.
Now, what about, you know, there are a lot of parents in our audience and a lot of parents who have issues with childcare, right? And I imagine there must be some open letter that fits that category.
Absolutely. Good job, Frank.
Thank
On
you.
To the next letter. An open letter to the parents of the little terrors I babysat.
Oh, boy.
All right. So this girl... goes on to paint a terrible picture of these children who gave Tabasco sauce to their pet lizard and killed it, told the sitter they have a snake, which made her hide in a bathroom, and they broke a window in the basement by playing baseball, and they threw spaghetti on the ceiling or at the ceiling using ketchup to make it stick. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready. So far, I'm siding with the babysitter that these are terrors.
Okay,
so
well,
far.
I may convert you.
Yeah, I have no doubt that you could.
Dear babysitter, I know our kids are not angels, but coming home to a broken window, spaghetti on the ceiling, and a dead pet lizard says more about you than it does about them. And I think it goes without say that referring to our children as birth control or suggesting that Satan switched our kids at the hospital will not render a high review on care.com. I am, however, happy to know that you do not want children of your own because hiding in a bathroom is not an effective child care strategy. Certain government agencies may even refer to this as neglect. Sincerely, Mrs. Lucifer.
Well, fair enough. I would venture to say that that is not a great reflection for her Care.com profile. Now, our mutual friend, Lauren Conlon, who, if we have time, we'll chat about a little bit later, she seems to be a pretty good parent, but she's done something that I just can't stand. She's taken a child who should have a normal name, like Michael or Anthony or Tony or Fred or Joe or Samuel, and she has instead given him letters as a name, and she calls her son Matthew James MJ. Now, there is an open letter out there to people who shorten names, not just to initials, but to actual, I guess it's too difficult to say Michael. You have to say my, right?
But I think most people would shorten it to Mike, yeah, not well, my.
The extremists in our
Okay, yeah, there you go. All right, well, this guy is very disturbed by this as well. So
oh, yeah.
It's
I actually wrote this letter. I didn't want to out myself, but I actually wrote this.
Well, you've clearly changed your name since, because this man's name was Christopher. And he wrote an open letter to people who shorten names. Okay. And so this guy actually called himself Chris in his early years because I guess in middle school, according to him, he was bullied because people used to call him Christopher Columbus.
Ah.
So he wanted to go by Chris. But now that he's older and he, quote, doesn't care what people think, he wants to go back to using his full name, and he would like everybody to know that. He also schooled us on what hypochrism is.
What is that?
Or hypochrism. Oh, huh. Hypochrism. It is people who shorten names.
Oh, that's what that is?
Okay. Is the act of shortening a name, which nobody cares. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Dear Christopher, I'm sorry that you feel wronged by Christopher Columbus, and all I have to say to that is get in line. As for people who call you C, I imagine this has only happened once because shortening someone's name to one letter is an extremely uncommon practice. So I would inform you that you should let that one go. But listen, whether someone calls you by three syllables or one, I think you should just be thankful that they are calling you at all, because this letter doesn't make you sound very fun to be around and has only made me think of another C word that I think you would appreciate much less. Sincerely, the female C word.
All right, Mar. You could stick around a few more minutes. We usually do 15 seconds of fame, but now that we have no phones, we're dependent upon you
of
to entertain
course.
Us. All right. We're going to continue with Marlena Shivo in just a minute. And we're going to – I'll take your emails if you want to comment on anything that we've covered in the last hour. Frank.Morano at WABCradio.com. Well, listening to people who should have names be called by letters is enough to give you a pain in the neck. If you are somebody suffering with chronic pain, be it neck pain, back pain, knee pain, shoulder tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, then you need to take a trip over to Trinity Rehab. They have something called the EPAT machine, which is FDA-approved non-surgical acoustic pressure wave technology. It's similar to what's used to break up kidney stones. It breaks up scar tissue. It enhances healing, and it gets rid of pain fast. In just 3 5-minute sessions on this EPAT machine, you could be virtually pain-free. There's no prescription needed to get started. They're all over New Jersey. Now they're in Clifton, Paramus, Wayne, Short Hills, Emerson, East Windsor, Shrewsbury, and even a brand new location in Woodbridge. Call Trinity Rehab today at 800-518-0977. That's Trinity Rehab, 800-518-0977. Or go to trinity-rehab.com.
Listen to your favorite shows live and on demand. Enable the 77 WABC Alexa skill today. Tell Alexa.
Play 77
Gold and silver prices are at an all-time high. If you have any gold, silver, or platinum coins, bullion, Franklin Mint items, diamonds, jewelry, art, antiques, paintings, French furniture, any Tiffany items, sterling flatware, Judaica, oriental rugs, older baseball cards, sport and entertainment memorabilia, watches, especially better watches, such as Rolex, Patek Philippe, Vacheron,
Vacheron, Tiffany, IWC, Cartier, Breguet, Omega, Breitling, and Bulgari, just to name a few. They will buy them at all the highest cash prices in any condition, even broken. They also need any designer jewelry, such as Cartier, Tiffany, Buccellati, Van Cleef, Harry Winston, and Bulgari. Now is the time to cash out at the world-famous APR 57 Gallery on 57th Street in New York City across from Carnegie Hall. They can also come to your home and do certified insurance appraisals. So if you have anything of value, call them for a free appraisal and high cash offer at 212-246-2000. That's 212-246-2000. Or toll free at 800-772-0054.
Chairman of the board, Old Blue Eyes, the Sultan of Swoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Sinatra!
This Sunday night, starting at 6, it's Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. With your host, the Vice Chairman of the Board, Joe Piscopo.
Thank you very much. You're marvelous. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. This Sunday night, starting at 6.
With me, Joe Piscopo.
On Music Radio.
Music Radio.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
On the road again. Thankfully, Marlena Shivo has a full tank of gas once she hits the road. We are winding down the last few minutes of The Other Side of Midnight. My guest for the hour has been Marlena Shivo. My thanks as well to somebody that got to get a great deal of rest today, Gabby, who still soldiered on in spite of not having much of a purpose in terms of not having to screen phone calls. But she still did a yeoman's job in terms of social media stuff. So
thank you,
Gabby. Were you bored today or what?
A little bit, but I found some other things to...
Yeah, well, hopefully the radio show that was in front of you was at least somewhat entertaining and not terribly boring.
Well, in Gabby's defense, too, she's also the one who puts together your podcast every day, so...
Yeah, well, so she gets to be doubly bored twice,
sure,
I suppose.
I guess so.
All right, well, Marlena Shivo is here. Now, Marlena, you are one of the most interesting people that I've ever met. Certainly one of the more entertaining and engaging, and I would say caring and kind people that I've ever met as well. So it's only natural that a lot of people, when they meet you, would, you know, want to be friends with you. Now, Lauren Conlon, who you can hear on this show on Tuesdays in the 4 o'clock hour generally, the WABC entertainment correspondent, she does something which just, it really irks me, and I really wish it didn't. And she engages in something that psychologists and others call, sociologists, friendship poaching, where she takes people that I introduce her to, and then she becomes far better friends with them than I am, and it leaves me feeling a little bitter, a little jealous, a little angry, a little sad, a little rejected, and feeling as if kind of my relationship with both of these people is not necessarily what I thought it was. So I was talking with her the other day about you, and kind of jokingly but not really joking, reprimanding her for poaching you, doing the full poach. And she said, whoa, I did not poach Marlena. Now, for the record.
And in Lauren's defense, for the record, you and I, after radio back in the fall, went to go have breakfast. And what did you do? I invited my friend Lauren.
Right. I encouraged you guys
because,
to be friends. Because I thought you'd get along, which you do.
And which we do. Now we're friends. And now you're backpedaling.
No. I'm not backpedaling. I am asking because she claimed she made it very clear that she was not the poacher, but the poachee. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, if that's
the case. I poached her?
That's what she makes it sound
like. What? Okay, now, Lauren, you and I have a problem.
No, I don't want to get anybody in any trouble. But you are disputing that characterization.
I am disputing it. I think that we are equally...
Well, you guys got along and that's it.
I think it was a mutual friendship in the making.
Right. It was not a strategic poaching on Lauren's part that she might have done with some other people, for instance.
With some other people?
Yeah.
That you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly.
So right. She's angered you on many levels?
No, I don't want to say anger because, you know, nobody owns any relationship to anyone. It's just, it does, it leaves you feeling, at least me, I don't want to speak for anybody else, and I've read a lot of data on this.
Actually, you know what? We should do a poll now that we're here, okay? And maybe Lauren can weigh in when, mm-hmm. when she wakes up. Who poached who? Okay. So Frank introduced me and Lauren Conlon. Okay. We get along. I've come into the city for, you know, and we have hung out in groups, in a group setting. And then Lauren went on to invite me to three different social gatherings of sorts. And I have I have RSVP'd yes to one of them, which we will be engaging in soon.
Tomorrow.
This week. Yeah,
right.
Tomorrow. Great. I don't know what day we're in.
Neither do I. That's right.
And so since she invited me, does that make her the poacher?
I think it does.
I think it. But, Lauren, but I think
again,
you're the poacher.
Again, I mean, I look. We're all adults. I'm the least of them. But so when you come back next week, hopefully we can continue this conversation next week. I invited you to be one of the applicants for the Miss Hamptons Murano 2021 contest that we're doing, and you wanted to also bring Lauren to that. Which I thought was interesting. So let's review that next week when you're back, because it's been a real treat talking with Marlena Shivo. Check her out on social media, all forms of social media, at Marlena Shivo. That's S-C-H-I-A-V-O. A whole world opens up once you follow her, and you could even see videos like this one. Tune in next week for more of the friend poaching drama. This is The Other Side of Midnight. We're going to do the WABC Early News next with Juliet Huddy. And more to be continued.
107.1 WLIR-FM Hampton Bays and 77 WABC New York.